Joe Rogan Podcast. Check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
Yes, sir.
What's happening? Good
all
to see
right,
you, brother.
Man, great to be here.
You want some coffee?
You drink
sure,
coffee?
Yeah. Sure, I'll take some.
All right.
Dude, you have had a fascinating renaissance. Cheers, sir.
Cheers, brother. It's hot as fuck.
This bare-knuckle boxing thing has been fascinating to watch, man, because it's like someone designed the perfect sport for you.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you are particularly
like
well-suited for that, and I find it so fascinating. Because I really wanted to ask you about this, because there's a certain something that applies to bare knuckle fighting that just, it's like there's a pain and there's a danger and there's a wildness of it that even some very great fighters, they get to a certain, they're in there and they're like, I don't like this.
Right.
They're too used to gloves. They're too used to whatever they're used to. They don't want that experience once they find it, once they're in there. But you seem to thrive on it.
You know, it's just a real fight to me. Even though, I mean, I still go to the gym and I do MMA with the guys. Like, I love boxing so much, though. It's my forte. It's like what I'm good at. 'Cause I'm cool to take a punch, get hit. That's fine. I'll take a hit to land a better one on you. And in bare knuckle, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to fight guys who, I mean, I did fight Julian Lane, who had experience in it.
Yeah.
He had 9 fights in it.
Yeah.
When we fought. And then I fought 2 guys who hadn't done it yet. So, you know.
But it's just like, let's talk about those 2 guys. Like, first of all, Michael Venom Page. That guy is super talented.
Yeah.
I mean, he's extraordinary. When you watch him fight in MMA, and he's a guy that I kind of predicted one day. I was like, the one skill that you don't see a lot of in MMA is this crazy blitz point fighting style. Because those guys can cover crazy distances. Those really good point fighters. And he was a really good point fighter. And he was the first guy that kind of showed how that style could apply in MMA. He's so elusive and so hard to hit. And, you know, you just put it on him.
It was different, you know.
It's different.
It was boxing.
Yeah.
I mean, he beat a couple guys boxing.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, because he's good MMA. After I beat him, I thought, you know, maybe they'll try to make that fight happen in MMA now, but I do feel like I would overpower him grappling-wise. But his legs are very dangerous. I mean, that last guy he fought, he kicked him in the leg and it was over.
Yeah, he's very dangerous. The knockout of Cyborg was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
The poking ball. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, he caved his forehead in.
His legs, that's what I'm saying. His legs are dangerous.
Incredible.
It's interesting to me to want, you know. I'm hungry for fights. I want to fight all these motherfuckers.
Well, I think with a guy like that, it's funny. I was watching Stylebender was on Andrew Schultz's podcast, and they were talking about him boxing some days. Like, boxing is too limited. It's too limited to fight. And you think about a guy like him who applies this full wild range of things, especially with Michael Venom Page, because he's so good at closing distance and kicking you and kneeing you. And that the knee, the timing of that knee, I mean, magnificent, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And when you take all that away and you only have these, it's a big difference.
Yeah.
It's a gigantic difference.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
But I have
to
the same difference, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Fits me. I mean, I did boxing. I had 1 pro boxing match. I'm still 0-1 as a professional boxer. But then I did that Triller thing in the triangle, and I fought Michael Seals, who was 27-3, in a mixed boxing match with Turtleback MMA gloves. And, you know, I won. I mean, I just put the pressure on him the whole time.
What are Turtleback MMA gloves?
Turtleback are like the training MMA gloves.
Oh, okay.
But it was like while Metallica was playing. Oh, yeah, heard it.
Oh, okay. So they're like kind of big MMA gloves.
He was 27-3 as a professional boxer.
Mm.
He drops me like once. They counted it once he dropped me. Another time I got hit in the back of the head and the ref saw it and I went down a little bit, but I got right back up.
So what is the biggest difference about bare knuckle for you?
I've learned, though. So, like, when I fought Julian Lane, his little fucking head hurt my hands. Because a lot of the time with boxing gloves on, your hands are, like, open. Mm-hmm. And you try to close it at the right time. But, you know, if you do that bare knuckle, because you know how if you're squeezing your fist, it's a little harder to move. You're kind of tense. But in bare knuckle, you have to learn how to move while you're tense and keep your hands close. Because with gloves, you can block a shot like this. But in bare knuckle, you got to be closed up, tight, and squeezing your fist so hard so that when you hit them in the head, you don't destroy your hand.
Yeah, there's like there's three levels of vulnerability. And the level number one is like you would see a lot of the like the glory guys. They keep their hands in a shell, like Alistair Overeem or, you know, like Badr Hari. Those guys would shell up. They shell up, but they have those big-ass gloves. And you see that when they come to MMA, some of those shots sneak through.
Yes.
But then bare knuckle, it's another level of sneaking through. It's a totally different – it's really interesting to watch a really good fighter like Luke Rockhold, you know, and you. And, you know, Luke Rockhold is very skillful. He's a very skillful guy. And when you were putting it on him, I was like, this is a totally different thing. And you are, like, uniquely suited for this totally different thing.
Thank
you. It's different than regular boxing, man. And remember when Paulie Malignaggi fought Artem Lobov?
Well, Paulie, I mean, he's a scrawny dude.
Yeah.
And Lobov was just a little dog.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
So that dude's an animal.
It was a good fight, to be honest. But the jabbing and moving that Paulie did didn't work for him. And Luke, I don't know. You know, that's kind of what we were talking about when you brought up Luke. We were talking about, I was talking about the tight fist and like how bare knuckle is different. And it's like I figured out how to utilize the bare knuckle. I mean, I knocked his teeth out. I hit him by the time I caught him, and then he was like, I'm not trying to get hit like that again. It was a matter of time. The gap was closing. It takes a second. He hit me, too, and I told him, I bet it. I haven't talked to him about it or asked him because I don't, I mean, you know, he lost or whatever, so I don't talk to losers. But I try to do what winners do, man. I try to think about winners. But when I hit him with that shot and he didn't want to get hit again, he had hit me. I got a little knot on my face right there, but I took it and I bet it hurt him. I bet it hurt his hand. I told him before the fight, you're going to punch me in the head. It's going to be the hardest thing you ever hit. And then I'm going to headbutt you in your hands and I'm going to punch you in your face and you're going to quit. And that's what he did.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
It's a different thing, man. It's a different thing.
I think I can do it in any gloves, though. Any sport. I could fight in the UFC. I have a mindset, and I fight with these guys. I do MMA. I see your belt on the wall in there when I went and did the cold plunge. It's like a red belt or a black belt with red stripes.
That's John Jock's belt.
That's not your belt?
No. It's John Jock Machado. When he got his coral belt, he gave some of them out to some of his
man, his dudes students. Like that, you know? Coral belt stuff. I'm going to chase back my black belt. I'm a purple belt, four stripe for years now. Could have been had my brown belt. I got great jujitsu. I train with some of the best jujitsu practitioners. I just choose to sprawl and brawl. I like to punch people. I think it's the best off button. I enjoy it and it's exciting. And it's entertainment business, right? So, you know, fucking lost my.
There's something to be said for that, for sure. I mean, look, people love to watch you fight.
Thank you. You know, I appreciate it.
I was always a giant fan.
My point was.
Yeah, you had wild
I will fight anyone,
man.
Anywhere. Yeah. I would love to. Please, give me opportunities. I want to show and be. I want to be a fucking coral belt in my own right, in my own way. And people know when Mike Perry walks down the street, it's like, that's what the baddest motherfucker that ever lived, dude. Mike Perry, they're going to talk about me. Just like they did Mike Tyson. I feel like Mike Tyson. I feel different. I'm better.
What changed in you? Like how did you come into your own? Because you were always a really good fighter, but it seems like over the last few years you're on a completely different level.
I have a family. I love them so much and you know, I'm a human. I fuck up. I make mistakes and shit, but you know I don't give up. I keep going and I push and I took, you know, David Goggins type shit. You know, it's like I stopped making fucking excuses and fucking was like, you know, 'cause I'm hurt all the time. I'm always fucking hurt. I don't care. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I got to wake up every day and feel this shit. You can't fucking hurt me because I'm in enough pain. I take anything you got and give it back. That's fighting. And I got, and I do it for, you know, I do it for fighting. I love fighting. Like, that's my shit. That's, even though it hurts, it fucked my face up. I've hate, it's a love-hate relationship. My family can hurt my feelings too. So it's all emotional feelings. And if you tell yourself just, who cares? Like, just no one cares about your problems or anything. So just handle your business.
When did you get into fighting? Like, when did you get into martial arts?
I feel like, to be honest, I feel like it was September 15th, 1991, the day I was born. But 11 years old, I was on YouTube doing videos, watching Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., going to school, bringing gloves, or fighting kids on the block, in the grass, you know, with gloves on, busting kids up, older kids, kids my age, it doesn't matter. It's just always been a fun game. I played all sports, basketball, rode my bike 20 miles all over the streets. Times have changed. Kids ain't out there like that no more. I don't know. I'm surprised I didn't get kidnapped. I probably would have stabbed the guy trying to do it, though.
How many fights did you get in as a kid?
Oh, man. I remember my dad always saying, I'm 100-0 in these streets. I fought 200 times or something, you know. I'm like, no, you didn't. I do. I fight. Other than the streets, I mean, just my whole life, you know, I spar every week. Sometimes two or three or four times. Sometimes every day.
And are you doing MMA sparring because you want to compete in MMA again? Or are you doing it because you love it? Like,
I want to fight people and I want to be better than them. And
in MMA too?
Yeah, it's like I've had so much success with this bare knuckle boxing. It's like, give me a challenge.
What do you think about bare knuckle MMA? Because I know, I believe Jorge Masvidal's organization does that, right? Is that true?
Yeah, they do.
I think Jorge is a bare knuckle MMA thing. What do you think about it? Because, like, why do we protect the knuckles of the hands when you don't protect all these other weapons? You don't protect elbows, you don't protect knees or shins, which are harder. It's kind of crazy that the one thing that's padded is the one thing you're kind of padding it because it's vulnerable. Well, you figured out a way to fight really at your best without that.
I feel like I don't want to use the glove as an excuse either, though, because I feel like in ways you can punch harder with a glove. Yeah. You can throw a bigger shot with a glove.
No, for sure. Yeah. No argument at all. It definitely protects your hands, and it's definitely safer for the fighter. But is it realistic? Like, why is this one thing encased? Why are your hands encased?
Because boxing has been around for hundreds of years, and that's what we did.
I know, because it seems barbaric. It seems barbaric to be able to hit someone with bare knuckle. But it's really – that's the real thing. That's real.
Right.
Right? The knuckle thing is like this agreed-upon padding.
I mean, I'm looking into the business of bare knuckle. I want to do like a San Chow with a karate combat 5-second ground and pound – bare knuckle, allow elbows, like, you know, PFL doesn't allow elbows, so that's weird. I want to, you know, why would you make us a sport where you utilize your whole body and then you're going to cut off one of the biggest weapons? I've knocked people out with elbows.
Yeah. What do you think of Lettway? They're using headbutts and elbows.
Is that a name of a...
It's a style of fighting. It's like Muay Thai, but with like headbutts.
Oh, wow. Headbutts.
You never seen a dude, David the Duke?
I've been told, or, you know, headbutts are kind of like, we don't
Pull
go that far.
That yeah, he's amazing. This cat who's the king of Lettway is this wild dude. He does headbutts in combinations.
Lettway is the sport?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's basically like a more brutal version of Muay Thai, where they allow headbutts.
Okay,
they do it in Myanmar. And this dude is actually from Canada.
I've seen him before.
This guy fucks everybody up.
He headbutts the shit out of people.
He fucks everybody up.
I want to fight him.
He's a killer. That'd be a wild fight.
That'd be great.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's like it's all bare knuckle, but headbutts. You're allowed to do a lot of shit. You hit, like, it looks like you can't hit the guy when he's down, but you can throw elbows and headbutts in combination, and everything's bare knuckle.
Yeah, you know, like I was saying, I want a challenge because, I mean, the bare knuckle is still challenging, but I made it so easy last time. Luke Rockhold didn't have a chance, and it seemed like I could have beaten him in MMA.
Do you think there's ever a, I mean, could it ever be possible that even boxing would go to no gloves? Like, if people just decide they'd like bare knuckle more?
No, because there's this, what do you call it? Deep down in boxing, like, it has its own soul. And that's why it's been around for 200 years and or more. And, you know, it's like when you have, speaking of boxing, T-Bud versus Spence.
Yeah, amazing.
Coming up.
Amazing. What a fight.
Yeah.
I get goosebumps just thinking about that one.
Everything about it. Spence the same since the car accident, even though he's had fights. I've seen him, you know, not paying attention in a fight with Ugas. Ugas was hitting him because he just was, like, looking around in the ring. And then, and these guys, you know, T-Bud 39-0.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Insane.
So, and he's a dog.
He's a dog, and he's the best switch hitter since Hagler.
They're going to fight.
That dude can fight so well.
And they hit so hard with the gloves, and their technique is so tight.
Yeah.
They can't take their gloves off. The fight be over. That's the problem. These 12-round fights, these guys go at it for all 12.
Mm.
And, you know.
Yeah. It's a different thing. It's just a totally different thing.
I guess you got to want a knockout or a technique. You know, whichever one the fans want the most. If they like bare knuckle, I mean, they do.
It's just so different. There's just so much you could never get away with.
It's exciting, and it's fast-paced, and everything is like pushes. Like, we go for it, so people enjoy watching it more than, you know, you're always at the fights live. Yeah. UFC, the best fights in the world, though. It's got to be amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. You get the feel of everything, the crowd, the moments. It, right? I know, it's great.
There's nothing like being in the room when it's happening.
Shout out Philly Fresh. He fighting Jacksonville UFC event in Jacksonville, Florida on the 24th, so in 10 days.
Who is he fighting?
It's a good fucking fight. Neil Magny.
Ooh.
They're the same, you know? Wow.
That's a good fight.
Just comparison. It's not racist, like, you know, all the jokes in the comedy club.
They're both long.
Crazy. Not from you. No. Some of your other comics.
Wasn't me.
Hilarious, though.
Yeah, funny dudes. They're both, like, Neil Magny has a crazy gas tank. Crazy gas tank. You know?
He's proven, Neil Magny has proven by beating people that you didn't expect him to beat. Yeah. And he shows up in battles. I'm rooting for my friend. He's got great jiu-jitsu.
Phil's on the rise, too, man.
And he is on the rise. And his mindset has been this focused mindset for the past couple years. He really, you know, we both kind of made a turn and a change. He's got a couple babies now. You know, we're growing up in this sport. We've been doing this shit for, honestly, I'm 31. I've been doing this shit for 20 years.
Do you think that bare knuckle, like, that there's less of a length of your career if you do bare knuckle? Is it more likely that you could get injured, like you could hurt your hands? Or do you think that you could have the same length of career bare knuckle as you can in, like, regular MMA?
I feel like I'm going to fight every day of my life forever for the rest of time that I am here on this earth, because that is what I do. That is what I was put here to do. And it doesn't matter what you do for a living. You're fighting for something. Everyone's fighting. You know, I fight to get out of bed in the morning because my neck hurts. So, you know, and I'm going to keep fucking doing it every day forever until, you know, God bless my friend Michael Milmerstadt and his family. He passed away. He's a great man. He's got three boys he left behind. I did a GoFundMe for the family. His wife got that. And, you know, boxing You know, it did it to him. And you don't know which, because he was so good. He was such a great, he was a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's an MMA fighter, a cop, a SWAT member. And then just working out one day in boxing and his brain was bleeding. And it's insane. So it's like,
from a sparring match?
You know, I got to go 100% now.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
God damn.
And I've been in wars, you know what I mean? Yeah. I thought after that, but it's like, I can't give up because I have the opportunity to, I'm making money. I'm making money now. It's crazy the money I'm making. So, you know.
Look at you.
I'm blink, blink. I know, Mike, but Perry, your up? Money, you don't care about that stuff. You're like, I mean, this place, this facility, all the stuff you got, all the toys and gadgets, and it's crazy. It's not even toys and gadgets. It's samurai armor from 15 million years ago, the first samurai ever, and dinosaur bones.
We had a bison skull coming today insane. From John Reeves. Isn't that cool?
Mike Tyson's jacket, like.
Yeah. That's Gordon Ryan's Abu Dhabi belt.
Gordon Ryan's great jiu-jitsu guy, man. He's done well.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of called him out on something. And, you know, he competes against, you know, jiu-jitsu, those guys will compete against anyone. So it's like, I would probably lose, but we were going to do like a slap jitsu.
Slap jitsu?
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit.
Hell yeah. Let's do slaps. And
that's different. That is different. That adds a whole nother element.
He'll probably break my foot, and I'll have to.
Mm. Yeah, you don't want to.
He could play. Can he play with me, though? I'm such a grown man. Like, I mean, like.
That's know, such a great way to put it.
I'll fight anyone, dude, but it's not a fight. It's the rules. It's how they lay the rules out for you. Bare knuckle is my rule set for sure.
Here's the thing about slapping. This is the reality. If you go back and watch Boss Rutten in the Pancrase days, Boss Rutten was the first guy to figure it out. You're calling it a slap, but Boss Rutten is pulling his hands way back, and he's palming you, and he can actually hit you and not even worry about hurting his hands. So he can kind of hit you harder in a lot of ways.
Right. No, slaps are...
I mean, you can
you're not allowed
the
to slap in bare knuckle. Isn't that fucked up?
That's crazy.
I slapped Julian Lane a couple times, and the ref was like... That's crazy. Damn, bro, I can't even close my hand. It's like the fifth round. I couldn't even close my shit. I slapped.
Look at
him.
The Boss Rutten was fucking pissed.
Yeah, dude.
See how he's look how far he's pulling his hand back.
Yeah, yeah. Boss is great, man.
Oh my god, he was an animal. But he was figuring out how to really fuck people up with palm strikes. So it wasn't as simple as like slapping is safer or something like that. I think that was like one of the reasons why they used to be able to do it in California at one point in time. You were able to do Pancrase so that you could slap, but you had to have an open hand. There was like a lot of all those weird rules back then, you know, but Boss figured out. So combat jiu-jitsu with just slapping, if it's getting to the ground, like you could hit somebody pretty fucking hard with the palm of your hand if you're
but
in the top position.
But you have to be grappling.
Yeah.
Already. You can't, it's not just
right,
slap
you can't just
boxing.
Slap from the beginning, yeah, which is kind of weird too.
That'll fuck me.
It's kind of weird too. Yeah. Like how?
Let me. They should let me. Gordon Ryan would let me. I'm a slap box his ass.
Yeah. It's,
try not to let him get a hold of me. Man, I brought you some gifts.
Oh, did you?
I did. If I could get that out of the way here. Nothing special, man. Nothing crazy because you're Joe Rogan. I don't know. I tried to bring you something, though.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I don't give people gifts.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
Let's see, man. Let's see here.
I'm glad you came in here because I've really been appreciating your fights. I really have. And especially the bare knuckle ones recently. I'm like, God damn.
Give them any attention. Damn it.
What do you got in there, dude?
Everything. Everything, dude. I got so much stuff in here.
So you can just give it to me later if you want.
Alright. Here we go.
Does your contract with Bare Knuckle, do they let you do other kind of fights?
Yes, they'll let me box. They let other guys go back to MMA and stuff, so it's like, you know, I'm in the fight business. I'm a hired assassin, I guess. I'm a hitman. I brought you the shorts that I fought Paul Felder in.
Oh, wow.
They're a little beat up, but,
thank you. Thank you very much, man. That's awesome.
Of course. They're clean.
Thank you very much. That's fucking good.
I also have a coaster from when I fought Lou Rockhold.
Oh, right.
It's got all of us on there. These are from Wuhan, China, when COVID happened. I've had these air fresheners for a while, so I got like a couple designs. I got you a few. It's like a PMP and
air freshener.
My little character.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I got those.
Oh, you got air fresheners. I love it.
Sorry, dude. I'm putting all this stuff on the table. And I got you. Save the best for last. Birthday cake.
Oh.
Chocolate bar from Colorado.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Oh, my pleasure, man.
It's very kind of you.
Thank you for having me on the show, bro.
My pleasure. And
I wish you would have told me about your show, but, like, God just works, man, because we just went for a walk. I asked my girl, I said, where do we go in Austin? She knows Texas. I don't. And she's like, 6th Street. So we start fucking walking. And we're like, oh, it's this comedy store right here, man. Everybody's in line. What's going on? We get in line. We hear the lady. If you're here for Joe Rogan, you know, this line, 7 o'clock. I'm like, let's go. Let's go. And you guys hooked us up anyways and got us in there. And we were sitting up top, man. It was a great show. You guys are geniuses. The way you talk and weave through a conversation. I don't know where you're going, and then boom, a punchline hits. It's hilarious, man.
Thanks, man. I'm glad you had a good time.
So smart.
It's a fun place. I didn't know you were coming to town yesterday. I would have invited you. I wasn't sure if you're coming to town.
Oh, okay.
Today. Sometimes people come in the day of.
I wasn't sure if you had set it up. My managers do it for me. Thank God.
Well,
for
I'm
them.
Glad you came.
First round management, Abe.
I'm glad you
Malky.
Came.
Malky.
Yeah,
Thank you. That
place is wild. It's like that whole street is wild. Like 6th Street, it's crazy. Like on Saturday night, we're looking through the window. It's like a zombie movie. All these people walking down the streets because it's closed off.
It's a little
off.
Bit like L.A.
Well, parts of it are. I
didn't expect that.
There's more tents lately, I've noticed. Like they clean them up and then they come back again. For a while, they had housed a lot of people.
It's not that as bad, though. I guess
no.
L.A. has spots that, you know.
L.A.'s crazy. LA doesn't make sense.
Isn't that wild? And that's the most expensive place to live in the United States, really. I mean, New York and LA, and they can get, you know, them projects get.
The thing about cities like that is once they slide, it's real hard to bring them back because they're like battleships. You know, when they're moving in a bad direction, when you're getting overrun by homelessness and crime, people just start moving out. And we have this, I think, a distorted idea that the way thing, like if something's great, it's going to stay great. If something's a thing that's valuable, it's going to stay valuable. People are going to get to a point where you're living in a place like that where there's tents everywhere. You go, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Hmm.
And then everybody gets the fuck out of there, except for the people in the tents.
They're going to take it over.
I mean, it's the whole thing is nuts. You're not even allowed to litter. You can't litter, right? So how can you leave all your shit in a tent on the sidewalk? What is that?
They have piles of trash.
The whole thing is crazy. It's like you can't just camp places. Mm. You got to there's got to be a better solution than just letting people camp places. And I don't know what Austin did for a while though. They housed people. They put them in hotels or something because they cleaned up a giant part of it. I know there's a bunch of programs to try to teach them trades, and there's like these housing options that they some of the philanthropists out here have set up, where they're trying to reintroduce some of these people back to the community. It's difficult, but they did something, and then it seems like it's kind of sliding back again. But you know, it's all over the country now, which you never saw before. Never. When you were a kid, do you remember seeing people just camped out?
I lived in Flint, and I don't remember seeing a bunch of homeless people. You know what I mean? Flint is supposed to be a rough town in the hood, but it's, I don't know, 20 years ago, life was different.
Don't they say there's like 100,000 homeless people in L.A.? Isn't it something crazy like
that's
that?
That's insane.
That's crazy. That's like the population of Boulder, Colorado. Just homeless people.
How do people pull up, though?
Is that true?
Like, Cubans pull up to Miami on these boats that they got a piece of wood and they oared 20 or 90 miles in this boat with like 17 family members, and they pull up on the beach and they go start their life.
Yeah, but you know why? Because they're escaping communism.
Right. No, so I mean, hungry. Props. Right, absolutely. Right.
But I'm saying these folks, they're not escaping communism. Most of them are mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
When you're getting like homeless people, most of those people are mentally ill or like severe drug
addicts. Well, because they're on drugs.
Yeah. They're on drugs and they're mentally ill or both or because of, you know, it's like. But that's a lot of it. And so, like, in San Francisco, that's the big criticism that there's a guy named Michael Schellenberger, and he wrote a book called San Francisco, describing, like, what happens when progressives ruin cities, like they're ruining San Francisco. And he was saying, like, it just gets to a point where it's what's going on is too nuts. Like, you're allowing these people to have these open-air drug dens.
It's a choice,
in front of everybody,
though.
And you're paying them money to stay there.
Ugh, they're paying the money.
They're paying money. Yeah, they give them money. They interviewed these guys that were, like, camped out, and they're saying one of the good things about being a homeless person in San Francisco is they give you money. They give you, like, a certain amount of money. Yeah. Give you a certain amount of money every month. And so there's no incentive to ever
bringing it on themselves, but you gotta want more in life. You gotta see cool shit and be like, I fucking want to put those. It's hard to be organized. That's my biggest problem. Why I'm not so rich. I think I gotta organize my shit, man. I keep a bunch of mementos and I start hoarding shit. I'm like, damn, man, we're moving right now. I'm trying to buy this house. I'm supposed to close on a beautiful home, but we need a new appraisal. We got one, and they're getting another one, so they pushed the date. But I'm hoping we can get in here because I got the money for it. So let me in. And but you know, forgot my point again, man. We should spark that back up. Maybe I'll remember.
Refire up the engines.
Yeah, you know,
what were you saying?
I don't know. I keep looking at that alien, that spaceship beaming up that person.
What do you think about all that alien shit, Mike Perry?
Oh, it's all popping right now.
Yeah, it is.
What are they trying to hide? They're just putting all this information out there. It's fake. It's bullshit.
Thank you.
It's like they.
Thank you. What are they trying to hide? Like, why? Here's the thing. I'm so greedy.
CGI shit, bro. Yeah. There's fake shit, bro.
I don't know what's fake and what's not fake. But I do know that it just seems weird that all this is coming at you.
Aliens are my cousin, though. I fuck with the aliens. If they come here, if they want to start some shit, I'll punch one of them in the face. But they better know how to act, and they coming up in my backyard. The planet is ours, so, you know, we got to have each other's back. If they really here, they ain't here. They could probably destroy us if they could come here.
Yeah. Did you see that thing in Vegas? This family said that a UFO landed in their backyard, and like an 8 to 10 foot tall alien came out. Have we talked about this yet?
No, thanks. Not on here. Officially.
Have you seen him, Mike Perry?
I don't believe it.
Have you seen it? It seems so dumb. First of all, why didn't they film it? They filmed all this other shit. Why didn't they film that?
They tried.
Did they try?
I mean, I could play their side of the story.
What do you think? I'm just being skeptical.
I saw this little like Spanish kid was talking about on Instagram. They were like making a video. Oh, I saw it. We saw it. It was It was real. It's like y'all look like paid actors.
Well, here's the thing. Investigative reporter George Knapp tried to interview them on several occasions, and they made appointments to have him interview them. And when he went there, they wouldn't answer the door. So I don't know. Maybe they're nervous about all the attention. Huh. I don't know.
That seems real. They don't want the attention. Yeah, they're like, we're not answering the door.
That's possible.
What normal people don't want the attention?
That's true. He said they're like 9 feet, 10 here. You got the wrong thing playing.
I do. Hold on.
What is?
I don't think the podcast is still playing on Spotify.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it.
It
is.
Whoops.
Sound.
Camera footage.
I have butterflies, bro. Everyone thought I was shooting star. Then these people say there's aliens in their backyard.
So when that 911 call came in, less than an hour later, police were ready to believe it.
It was like a big creature.
A big creature?
Yeah, like around 10 feet tall.
Because I'm not going to BS you guys. One of my partners said they saw something fall out of the sky too, so that's why I'm kind of curious. Did you see anything land in your backyard? Or?
But after a brief investigation of the yard, officers closed the case.
It's a whole video about nothing, really.
If beings come back, don't call us, all right? Deal with it yourself. That I ain't dealing with that.
According to former intelligence officer David Grush, an alien crash.
If I was an alien, those are exactly the kind of people that I would talk to.
Oh, that
way
nobody
would believe you.
No, this is a CGI thing.
Oh,
oh yeah. God. Why do they have CGI?
I don't know why they would do
why
that.
Why are you telling me what I should see? Yeah, I don't know, man. I think for sure it's possible that alien life exists and is visiting. For sure it's possible. But also, it just seems real weird that they're so forthcoming with information and all these whistleblowers and everything. Part of me is going like...
Do you think aliens get sex changes?
Yeah, I think they gave up on sex totally. If you look at like what...
They have mental
what gray,
sex, like
yeah,
telekinesis and
like the Matrix.
Oh.
If you look at what those grays look like... They have giant heads, they have spindly bodies, and no gender. They have like they're genderless. They probably don't reproduce with sex anymore. They probably reproduce through technology, you know? And they probably all look exactly the same, so they're equal in some weird way.
We're living in the Matrix.
Yeah.
So we're asleep right now.
If you can imagine being a human being, right? You imagine being a person. You can imagine being another life form that eventually gets to a place... And evolves either through technology or what to what those things are.
You're right. We all adapt in evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
We're so not like, going to stop wherever we are now.
No.
We're going to keep going.
Yeah, I'm going to grow wings and fly. I don't know. That would be cool.
Yeah. Do you think that I mean, that's what I've thought many times when I see like that classic gray alien with the big head, the big black eyes. I always think, maybe that's what we are in the future. Maybe that's us. Mm. Maybe that's what we're seeing.
I was just thinking about that metal statue you have out there, the wolf fucking the gorilla.
Oh, you know what that's from? That was a dream that I had. I had this crazy dream.
What the fuck? So you had somebody make a dream? That's cool.
I had this crazy dream that this werewolf was fucking a gorilla.
Did you draw a picture?
No, I was just saying, like, I was just having a conversation with a friend, and I was saying, like, what the fuck is dreams? Like, why are dreams so fucked up? Mm. And I had this dream that I was, like, sneaking around, like, trying, like, the outside of the wall, hoping they wouldn't notice me while werewolves was fucking a gorilla. Like, it made no sense. Made a sculpture of it and sent it to me.
I feel like crazy. I don't dream, man.
You don't dream at all?
I feel like I don't. I don't really have any memories of dreams.
There it is. That's pretty dope.
But I'd be like living the dream.
What a crazy dream.
I try to.
This is my brain. You smoke a lot of weed though, right?
Not as much as I used to.
I think that for me, when I stop, whenever I take breaks, my dreams become way more vivid.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. But then sometimes I'm like, I've been smoking, and then I do have a dream, but, like, I don't remember it later. I've told my girl a couple of times about, oh, I had a dream last night. She always dreams that, you know, being bad or cheating. Mm. I'm like, why are you dreaming like that? I be here at the house, or I go work out in the gym. That's what I do. So... You know,
the weirdest things about dreams is that right when you wake up, they're so vivid, but then a few minutes later, you can't remember what the fuck it was. Like, it was so interesting to you when you wake up. Right. Like, wow, that dream was crazy. Like,
I feel like dreams piss me off. That's why I choose to, like, deny them sometimes.
You choose to deny them?
They piss me off because I'm like, I can't do nothing. I can't grab. I can't right. punch you in your face or...
In a dream.
Yeah. Yeah. But in real life, I can... Control everything.
I've had one where I can't run away. Like, you can't run. Like, something's chasing after and your legs aren't working right.
Are you, like, in the wall that's sinking? I don't know.
Yeah.
Damn, I gotta make a statue of one of my dreams.
A statue? Like that?
Like that, yeah. I gotta do that.
Yeah, I wonder how much dreams are a reflection of like whatever's in our genetics. Like, what if there's genetic memory? I wonder if it's like some dreams are like some genetic memory from the past.
We all remember when you were on Fear Factor and made people eat elk penises, and we all remember that.
Yeah,
and it's like that's a memory that is in humankind's genetics. That's we're living ridiculous. It right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're all oppressed.
But I'm wondering, like, I wonder how much of, like, fears and dreams. Like, I've had a bunch of dreams about being chased by wolves.
Mm.
A bunch. And I've always wondered what that is.
I don't run from wolves.
You don't run?
I feel like I would give them a hug. Come here, baby. Come here, baby. I'll wrestle that motherfucker to the ground. I'll grab a fucking wolf and bite that shit's ear. Mm. Be like, boy, I run this shit. Stop.
Wow.
I have a German Shepherd. He's a baby, though.
It's a big difference between that and a wolf.
Yeah, for sure. Whatever. You talked about a dog killing a bunch of jackals. I'll get a dog. I'm human. We on top of the food chain. Fuck the aliens. I'm trying to eat some alien. I'm trying to eat some alien. I want to try that shit. Is that cannibalism?
No. No, not
eating an alien?
I don't think so.
All right.
It's probably frowned upon. There was this movie.
I think it'd be like Octopus.
This movie called Moment of Contact. There's a UFO crashed in Varginha, Brazil in 1996. And this cop had carried one of the bodies, like the injured alien. And they put it in the back of the car and they drove it to the hospital. And then they took it to another hospital. It's all documented. It's crazy. The cop who was carrying the alien died of a horrific bacterial infection that they couldn't cure him of. Antibiotics didn't work. I mean, he was a young guy and he was dead within like a couple of weeks. Hmm. They don't know what the fuck it was. Doctors had never seen anything like it.
Doctors are crazy.
Imagine if he's telling the truth. That's imagine if it really job. Is a little alien spacecraft that crashed and he picked up a body and tried to carry it to the hospital of this being. And imagine them bringing a fucking alien into a hospital. Like, hey, look what we got
they
here.
Do. We are aliens.
Oh, okay.
Do we are or we ain't? That's what I said. Is it cannibalism if I eat one of them? No, because they're different species of us, whatever we are.
Right.
We're just a germ. You remember Powerpuff Girls and they had the germ dudes and then the, I don't know, the green dudes?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, that's you were already grown Powerpuff. Up when I was yeah. watching Powerpuff. I'm still kind of young, so I can fight for a
yeah,
little
you're
while.
Only 31.
Yeah, man.
But how old were you when you had your first UFC fight?
24.
And how much formal training? Like, when did you start, like, formally MMA training? Like, training MMA in a gym and...
Mm. 15 years ago. I did it as a kid.
Right. But you
my dad talked about
it.
He did a couple kickboxing matches. Like one or two. I don't know. But he fought in the streets and stuff, I guess. So my dad was a wild dude. I mean, he had bags. He was a naval guy. He was a Navy guy. And I would use some of his boxing equipment at a young age. So, you know, I've always been punching. And, but formal training, I mean, I trained myself for a long time. YouTube, like I said.
Really?
But I got with Julian Williams and I met this Central Florida group of mixed martial artists have been around for, you know, it feels like 15 years. I've been knowing them. So since I was in my teens. Formal training.
And did you go through like an amateur MMA program? Did you have any amateur fights?
Yes. I had like 20 amateur fights, but I guess it was like a scattered version. There are things that are more organized and put together that, I mean, like the boxing, like the little kids that do boxing all over the country, they're fighting every week. They're, you know, they get how many fights before they go pro? 100 fights, 200 fights, Lomachenko, 300 fights. Yeah. Before they go pro, these kids, and their parents. I see that now because the boxing gym I work at, Technique Boxing, you know, I get to be around that type of whatever that is, that's that deep down, that the soul of it. It's about the kids, and they become great boxers over the years of doing it. And you know, I've done it too, but we were like one of the first. Fighting was already around in the 80s. And then there's boxing, obviously. Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali, obviously, those were big fights. But, you know, now there's more formal kids and, like, the Karate Combat dudes. They've been raised well by their parents, you know what I mean? Like, they have manners and and they have technique in karate, which is... It's different if you look at all the techniques. Like, Muay Thai is like a dog fight, but there is technique. Boxing has it, and when I say technique, it's like positions of your body. That's how you generate force and, you know, physically control whatever's happening in fighting. I mean, that's what we're talking about, is how do you fight? How? Shit, why? You know, I wish I could bring something else to the world that means more. But, you know, the world does piss me off sometimes, so I'm like, yay, I get to punch somebody for this. But, you know, thank God. But, you know, how can I be an addition to society and make a difference and build something and think about something and be smart and... Fuck, man, being smarter is harder, bro. It's fucking hard out here.
What about maybe, have you thought about starting a gym?
Yeah, I mean, I want to do a fight thing, a business company.
Like a promotion company?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of ways a guy like you, who, you know, there's a lot of guys that can relate to people like you. There's a lot of guys that, you know, they want to fight too. There's a lot of angry men. Mm-hmm. And they want to relate to a guy who's figured out a way to positively channel that.
Mm-hmm. It is really positive, but then it becomes funny. It's like, I feel like I understand fighting to the point where it's like, I'm having trouble seeing the point of fighting. It seems like a joke. I mean, it's a fun sport, but there comes a time, I think, when it becomes, you know, that's the question. Am I going to put it ahead of me and make it more important than my own self? I mean, I feel like I'm not getting hurt, to be honest, but I do take some hits in training. You know, that shit add up. I've been taking punches for 20 years. It just feels like, you know, it doesn't hurt until later. It hurts later. And then, you know, so I don't know, man.
Have you given thought to doing something else? Have you given thought to, like, what are you going to do when you're done with this?
No, I feel like I just go into construction. Just be an old guy.
Construction.
And just start fixing shit, man. Pick up some tools, old school. I got to get a hot rod again, man. Fucked around with a few hot rods. I'm like, man, I just gotta get another one and make it nice. And, you know, but I be driving the family around now, so everything's on hold. I think I just have faith in God, and I try to do what's right and be good. And, you know, as long as I support those around me, the women and children, I'll be good to go.
So, how did this bare knuckle thing come about? Like, what did you just want to test the waters over there? Was it something just a lucrative offer? Like, what made you go over there?
Oh yeah, big money. It was big to me. It was definitely big. It was big fights, but you know, there wasn't a ton of people at the arena when I fought MVP, but everybody did see it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but
well, I think after this Rockhold fight, it's changed people's appreciation for, first of all, how difficult it is. Like when you see Rockhold's jaw fucked up with his teeth fucked up, and you know, you see that you've been beating guys like him and Michael Venom Page, and it's like these are like very high level guys, and you're doing it in this sport that's like, man, this is it's a completely different thing to me, at least. It's like the way you're describing completely makes sense about how you have to be tight all the time,
mm-hmm.
but still move well.
Check this out, Michael Venom Page or Misfits, you know Misfits Boxing.
Yes.
What's his damn name? That English kid over there that runs Misfits Boxing. It's like Most Valuable Promotions Jake with Jake Paul. KSI. Mm-hmm. KSI okay. has Misfits Boxing. That's his.
Okay.
And we were talking with my people about a possible tournament style, one night, three fights, boxing with gloves. Or if it would it be kickboxing with gloves? I don't know what it was, right? But me and MVP start on different sides of the bracket, and we fight three-minute rounds each time. Meaning, so the first two, me and MVP should win the fights, and then we're fighting again in the finals for rounds 7, 8, and 9. We would be fighting each other. So it would be three opponents, three fights in one night. It would pay a bunch of money per fight.
Wow.
I think that sounded kind of cool. I would love, you know, I would definitely give MVP another shot.
This is an event they have announced. They have a tag team event going on and a Survivor tag match, too. I wonder how that
tag
works.
Tag team.
Yeah, like Kimbo Slice Jr.'s on here, Haseem Rahman Jr.
This is crazy.
I have no idea how it's going based off of that.
How are they going to do that?
Interesting to watch. For
tag
sure.
team.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be wild.
Well, it just kind of makes sense, right? People are always trying to push the boundaries. People are always trying to, like, okay, is that hardcore enough? What about if we have a bunch of dudes fighting? Like, you've seen those Russian videos where they have, like, teams of dudes meet on a field and just start beating the fuck out of each other.
Oh, yeah. Like 200, 600. $200, let's go. Crazy. I want to try that shit,
crazy.
Though. See, that's, you know, where is that group of fighting people, man? That's wild.
I think it was in Russia. Was that where it was?
Yeah.
I think there was Ireland, too, man. Gypsies.
Car fights. Fighting in a phone booth.
Russians are just different, man. They're just different. That's
a well put together American is fucking up there, though. We're up there for sure.
But it's. We're not having groups of 200 people meet groups of 200 people and just running into each other on a football field and beating the fuck out of each other.
Come on, let's go, America. Let's do the American team versus that big Russian team, man. Let's see what happens. 200 on 200.
Bro, that would be scary. Yeah. What is this?
The team fighting championship.
Oh, God.
Which is sort of what...
Yeah.
It's not the giant field one, but
this is Poland versus Sweden. Oh my God, this is insane. Jesus Christ.
I went to Russia and they tried to fight me at a press conference.
Oh my God. Where did you go to Russia for?
My friend was fighting. Fucker. He fucking got beat up by this big Russian guy. He fights giants, man. He just fought. He just fought, what's that dude's name in the UFC who, Johnny, the 205er, light heavyweight. Well, Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker.
Yeah. And, his brother, he has a brother that's 12-0 or 11-0 now because he beat Alex, but he's like 260 pounds, I think. And Alex is like 225. And he fights these heavyweights. And he had a good battle with him. He didn't win that one. But
Johnny Walker is an interesting guy. That dude has crazy power. Look at that.
Yeah, look at that. That's him.
Damn.
Good for him, man. He had a good fight, my boy.
Very interesting. 11-0. Johnny Walker, kid, he generates power for some crazy ways. Like when he's fighting Paul Craig, and Paul Craig grabbed a hold of his leg, and he's KOing him while he's like hopping around on one leg.
Jamal Hill, bro.
Yeah.
Time that he got hit in the forehead like that, and he put Johnny down. Jamal Hill's cool, bro. He just like fights, man. Just get in there. He's got
amazing timing too.
Yeah,
his timing.
He's
long, and it's just
strong though.
Yeah, long and strong, and you know, just so, like when he fought Glover, I was like, God, man, Jamal's like. You know, and he's coming into his own, too. There's a thing that happens to a guy, like, when he hits that championship level where they just come in their own and they start to really shine.
Mm.
And that's where he's at. Like, that guy's got crazy power. He's a fun dude, too. Boom. I mean.
That's wild, man. Sorry, Johnny.
It's crazy. Because.
Let's go. Jamal, you from Grand Blanc? That's where he lives. I was talking to him the other day. I want to, I'm like, shit, I want to train with him. Yeah. He's the champ.
Yeah.
At 205, outside of, you know, John Jones. Is he undefeated, Jamal Hill?
No.
He lost.
Paul Craig tapped him out.
Oh, his armbar. Paul Craig, he be having, you know, ups and downs. He can beat anyone with that grappling.
That grappling is crazy. His guard is crazy. His guard's crazy. Mm. He just cinches up those triangles on
you. You just got to smash when somebody's grabbing you, you know?
Well, that's what Johnny Walker did. That's what Johnny Walker did.
To
Paul Craig.
To Paul Craig, yeah.
I remember he was holding on to that leg, trying to get the takedown. Mm-hmm. Johnny Walker's just so fucking athletic. And he's an interesting dude, man. I mean, if you back it up so you can see, like, how it started. So he like, grabs his leg, and look at it, he's KOing him while he's holding his leg up in the air. I mean, that is nuts. That kind of power is nuts.
Oh, my gosh. See that? Yeah, that hurt his head, man.
He's a big dude for 205.
He's so big. Yeah, I love the fights, man. So, Yoel Romero's fighting Bellator this weekend.
I know. Isn't that wild? He looks like he's 30 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
He does. He looks exactly the same. That dude is
amazing.
He's
a good soul, man. He's a great soul. Yoel is very strong. He holds up the community, man. Support him.
I had a podcast that I did with him and Joey Diaz, and Joey Diaz translated. So Yoel would say some of the stuff in English, but then he would say some of the stuff in Spanish, and Joey Diaz would translate. It was amazing.
Diaz is cool, man.
He's the best.
He's a crazy guy, man.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's the best.
Can of corn.
Yeah.
Can of corn and I'll be fine. What's that from The Longest Yard, man?
Oh, yeah.
He was in there. Joey Diaz. Hilarious.
Yeah. He you know, he came from Cuba as well. And the way they were describing, you know, the system over in Cuba, and like Yoel was talking about the wrestling system that he came up through. I was like, phew. He goes, "It makes you a machine."
That's good, man. A machine. I want to be an actor, bro.
Is that what you want to do?
Big. Why not?
You can do it.
Let me be a bad guy in a movie or something.
That's what I'm saying. How about you in John Wick 5?
Let's go.
Keanu,
right,
come on, man. You would be an amazing bad guy assassin with a suit, a sharp suit on.
Let's go.
Come on,
something,
Mike Perry.
Man, something nice.
That actually would work. That actually would work. I could see that.
I'm about to go get married in Vegas, man.
All right, man.
About to go do it, have a good time with the fam.
Nice.
Some fun.
So do you have any fights lined up? Like, how does it work after this this last, which, you know, probably this is like the most popular performance, like, in terms of the amount of people that watched the Rockhold fight. Was that like the biggest one that they'd put on?
Mm-hmm.
So do they have anything lined up for you?
Apparently, you know, there's a couple deals on the table, and I really don't know am I supposed to decide what happens? My team is trying to get me the best deal possible. Life-changing deal. You know, I had success against Rockhold, and it's, I've been doing good, and I'm trying to stay on that path. And, you know, I'll fight anyone. That's, it don't matter. I'll fight. And, you know, a lot of haters on the internet, man. Come on, UFC, give me that good deal, man. Give me a good deal. I don't think they match a deal like the ones that I'm going to get, though. I mean, damn, where do I want to be champion? Where do I get the most views? That's what I want. I want to fight in front of the biggest crowd I can, and people enjoy it. Enjoy the show, man, because I'm going to go for broke. Headbutt your shit and fucking, and it don't matter if it's bare knuckle or if it's with gloves, a boxing gloves, a boxing ring. Anthony Pettis just fought Roy Jones Jr. It was a great fight. You know, I think that's a great fight for me in boxing match. And I love Anthony, and God bless him, and he's a competitor. And, you know, it's just a fun little boxing match. And if we could get paid good for it, I want to do it. Just show up and spar. I want to work with pro fighters all over. So I said I wanted to go work with Jamal Hill. What do you think I mean when I say work? We're going to put gloves on and try to swing at each other. So we might as well just fight. I'll fight Jamal Hill. God bless him, too. I mean, he'll probably beat my ass. He's too big. He's 205-er. But give me a I'll try it. Let's go.
I know you would.
I'll try it.
There's a fucking
bigger they are, the harder they fall, man.
There's a hilarious video of you with Darren Till.
Yeah, that's a good fight. That's a great fight.
But when you're saying to him, do you want to spar?
Mm-hmm.
And he thought you were saying, do you want to go to the spa? Like,
yeah.
Like,
no, I think he knew what I meant.
Oh, you think he knew?
I think that was just his joke. He's a clever little fucker. you know, but that's a great fight. Where do we want to do that fight? Who wants to take that fight and get the viewers from it? It's me and Darren Till in any way, either MMA, because he did MMA. Well, Masvidal clapped his face, and then, you know.
Yeah, he's a big guy that was cutting down to 172. I mean, do you think that when those guys really cut down like that, that it affects your chin?
People want to see me fucking fight in Africa because they say I'm from... That's what they say all over the internet. That's the joke that goes around. Is that I'm
is it on 4chan?
Fucking on 4chan?
4chan, you know what that is?
What is that?
That's the internet when you just let it go uncensored. It's a website with crazy people.
Mm. Well, no, they...
But it just sounds like something they might try to organize.
It's because I said it a long time ago. Fucking, you know.
I wonder if the UFC is ever going to have a fight in Africa. That would be wild. You know, maybe in like the same place where Ali fought Foreman.
I'm saying PFL has Francis Ngannou now.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't it something crazy like Francis's opponent has to get paid $1 million? Did you read that? Let's make sure that that's true. Because I think I'm repeating that someone told me. I want to make sure that's true. You know what? It was Stylebender. He was talking to Schultz about it. Yeah. The PFL has offered to pay Ngannou's opponent a minimum purse of $2 million.
Hmm.
Ngannou did not want to face an opponent who was not paid what they deserve. Wow. He wants to see fighters be rewarded. He wants the best possible opponent. So, listen, man, that spices things up. If you know you're going to get $2 million to fight him, guys who are on, like, the end of their contract. Mm-hmm. And what's good about that is it just, like, raises competition for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so many fighters now that it's almost like we need more organizations. But I think we definitely need more weight classes. Don't you think?
Yeah, just meet up and fight. I weigh 195, 190 right now. And I probably lost some weight this morning, but 190. So, you know, I could fight a guy at the bar in the street, 200 pounds.
Right, but as a sport, as UFC, do you think the UFC should have more weight classes?
Boxing does, so
yeah.
Why not? I mean, Who cares though? You meet at what you meet at. 170 to go back to 170. I've been at 75, and then my last fight was at 185. So, but MMA is different with 185. But in boxing, I was a good size for 185. I'm short, and you can box being short. But when you're up against the kicks, you can't be dipping down. I mean, I still do good when I fight kickboxers, but I'd have to pick it back up again. I've had some trouble getting kicked before and things like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't think about it.
You don't think about it. You just fight, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have a preference.
Like
if you had a preference. Like if you had a, would your preference?
Yeah, I don't care if you, sure, thanks.
Would your preference be that like the UFC comes to you with a big offer? Would that be your preference?
Isn't that the top of the food chain though? Yeah. The pay-per-view, the crowd, the UFC pay-per-view. I mean, awesome. Guys went in and out of the UFC for not since the 1990s when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now and getting paid, Rampage Jackson. Love that guy, man. He's great.
No, Rampage is awesome.
He's got his son. He was talking about his Wanderlei's son. He has a son who does fighting too.
Oh no!
So their sons could fight. That could be a good fight.
Oh my god!
Wanderlei Rampage again.
Wow, that's crazy. Those fights they had in Pride were nuts. That's something I really wish I had seen live.
You never saw Pride live, huh?
No. I did in Vegas. I saw Pride in Vegas, but it wasn't.
You see the now, though.
Yeah.
The UFC, everyone knows Adesanya stuff. And
Big
fights, man. It's great to be a part of that.
Oh, yeah. But what is different about Japan and the Pride era was like, you know, you got like 90,000 people at the Saitama Super Arena.
Or like the Thriller Manila, right? They said that was in Africa, right? Mm-hmm.
That was in Africa.
At Ali versus Foreman.
Yeah.
Biggest fight ever.
But that was when I was a kid. I couldn't have seen that. I could have gone to Japan to watch one of those big crazy Pride events, and I really feel like I should have.
Mm.
I really feel like I should have watched Fedor fight live when he was in his prime. I should have just flown out to Japan. Fuck it.
Mm.
Because that's something that, like, that dude, like, you want to talk about a legend.
Fedor.
Like, that dude, I mean, he could do it
all. Yeah, I watched his YouTube stuff, too. Miracle Crow Cop. I watched all that stuff growing up, you know, YouTube. I got to catch everything. I studied that, I guess. Everything.
When you were watching on YouTube, did you get together with friends and practice? Like, how did you put it together? Yeah,
sometimes. I would shadow box.
Mm.
Shadow boxing is huge, man. Like, if you can't punch the air, then you can't punch a person.
True.
You got to know how to throw a punch and be prepared to miss, be prepared to land, and, you know, make it count. Because that's what a punch is for. It's like, I can take you out quick. But, you know, I guess that's what the gloves do, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to that. The boxing gloves give you a longer fight, a harder fight.
Yeah.
No gloves, it's faster paced. They can't take it.
There's also the argument that you take more brain damage with gloves because you get hit more because it's easier to just hit you full blast.
Mm.
Yeah.
You can't train bare knuckle, though.
So how do you train? You just train with regular boxing
gloves?
Well,
sometimes, right? Like, but only, like, mitts. And you can't spar with anyone. Right. No one's trying to go bare knuckle with me. And
right.
We got to put 16s on and hit that way and with headgear. And
don't you think in that case, like, your previous experience in bare knuckle is a giant advantage to anybody that wants to just step in and try it now? Like anybody even.
But I fought someone with 9 fights.
Yes. Oh, no doubt.
First time.
Right. No doubt. But
I think it's boxing. I think I know boxing good.
Mm.
And I think I'm a great boxer. Even though I'm 0-1. So I want to get a boxing match that counts onto my record because the Triller one didn't.
Right.
So I'm still technically 0-1. I want to get a boxing match. Jake Paul, that would be, you know, he's about to fight Nate Diaz. So that's cool. That's a good fight, man. Good for both of them.
I think Nate's going to teach him some lessons. All I was getting at was that you could definitely box, definitely.
Right.
What I'm saying is that, like, but you've done it with bare knuckle more than once. And
you can't. Right, it's too easy, man. Nobody wants to smoke that way.
But you're saying you can't spar that way.
Right.
You can't spar that way, right?
Right.
So that's a unique experience, the first time anybody ever does it. But you've already done it. And you've done it multiple times successfully. That's a giant advantage. It's a giant advantage you have right now.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And you're such a dog that you're like particularly designed for like that kind of fighting. When I was watching that Rockhold fight, I was like, Jesus.
I train a lot, man. If you look at pictures of me in that moment when I was fighting, I look like a different person. I've kind of lost it since that fight. I've built that up so much for the camp. I was a different man. I was chiseled. I was focused. I was straightened out. I let myself go a little bit after the fight. You're supposed to. I think that's how you heal. Mm. You just kind of start laying around and, you know,
relax for a little bit.
Yeah, just hang out. So,
yeah. Did you bulk up for that fight?
I tried to eat more. Yeah, I tried to. I eat good anyways. I love going to restaurants and just getting some nice little Wagyu or fucking caviar and all type of that. Oysters. Suck them down, boy. I'm hungry.
I like the sound effects.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. You're living good. You're supposed to. You're supposed to be living good.
Alcohol, I got to quit, though.
Yeah.
I will again, but, you know. Damn, I'm going to just sip on it next time. This morning was rough, boy. I ain't going to lie. This morning was rough. The ice bath, like that, saved my life.
Woke you right up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a new Blue Cube ice bath that is like a running river, and you climb inside of it, and it's torturous. It's torturous.
It's great. I'm thinking about it right now. I could go get in there. I got some work I'm getting done on Friday. I'm doing PT.
What's going on
a lot
with your neck?
Now. Yeah, I'm doing PT, man. It's
What's going on with your neck?
My shoulder's just tight, I guess. It's like, you know, probably I go southpaw sometimes because to try to make it feel better. It's like I do so much this way that this gets tight. Or I get hit so much maybe on this side gets tight.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So then it just takes PT and focus on it. And
you ever had stem cells on it?
No, oh, man, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool,
I think that's your move. Yeah.
And then put a needle. It feels like, go ahead, man, just put a needle in that motherfucker and squirt a bunch of that shit in there.
Gordon Ryan had some stem cells injected. I think he was into his shoulder. And it fixed his neck problem. He had a neck problem for a while, he was saying. And because it goes through your whole body, but they do it on the site of the injury, but it's still, you know, there's a lot of it.
Helps repair.
Yeah, it repairs all over your body.
It's like a sperm goop that fucking lays all over your shit and makes new genetics or DNA.
Maybe.
Attaches to your DNA.
I wouldn't want to grade that in a science class. I don't know if that's exactly how it goes down.
It's making like babies.
It's doing something.
Whatever that goop is, it makes some babies. Yeah.
It's replicating.
It fixes.
Yeah.
That was a weird way to put it, but.
I know what you're saying, though. Yeah. I mean, it's something like that. Whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. You can take people's parts of other people's bodies and inject it into you, and it helps things heal.
It's like, you just got to work on everything anyway, so like GSP, he's always posting like you know, stretches that he's doing, or so I mean, he's doing that for a reason. You got to work an area out. I know that you got to train your, like, if when your neck's hurting, you got to train, like do your back pull-ups. That's why I did that motion, because I'm thinking about doing my back muscles, so I got, or the pull ins. You know, I got to strengthen the area around. That's old school. That's how we do it. That's how you deal with pain. You fucking work harder. And, you know, I guess I've never, I'm talking about, you know, why I haven't done stem cells, and I don't know. I don't really care. I'm just gonna fucking deal with it and do it.
Well, I appreciate your toughness. I appreciate your toughness. But I mean, I think maybe for your overall ability to be at your best.
Yeah.
You should probably get it.
Do everything I can To try, yeah.
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 I don't know.
I got the money for it, so.
Oh, okay.
I do got the money for it, yeah.
Okay.
Was it like $10,000 for some stem cells?
Right? I would like to know. I know that there's a really good place in Tijuana, the Cellular Performance Institute. I know the guys that run that, and a lot of MMA fighters have gone down there. A lot of MMA. Eddie Bravo's gone down there. A lot of guys
go
down
there. I know people went
to
Colombia to do it, too. Yeah.
That's that bioaccelerator. Mm-hmm. Panama has a great place. That's Dr. Neil Reardon's place. I actually sent my mom down there twice.
Oh, really? Your mom got it done?
Yeah, she was having knee issues. Yeah. Yeah, man, it absolutely can help with some, especially like soft tissue injuries. It's interesting stuff. It's new advances like that in medicine are fucking wild.
Yeah, I know. I got to
fix tissue. It's always better if you're at your best, especially when you're thinking about
it. But I feel like that's what a camp is. Mm-hmm. I get these issues.
Right.
I've had this neck pain seems like my life force. That is a driving my life. I feel like I never remember a time when I didn't have a pain in my neck or just a pain just walking around.
In your neck always or just anywhere? Anywhere is understandable, but if it's in the same spot.
Something's always hurt.
Right.
Something's always hurt.
Of course.
My finger.
Right.
My neck.
Yeah. If you're sparring all the time, something's always hurt. Yeah. But what I'm worried about is that like the way you're describing it, it could be like a chronic injury. That could be limiting your ability. Like Yoel, who we're talking about, Yoel Romero, he has his neck fused.
You ever see a video of him?
He had an operation where it's like his disc was so fucked up, they had to fuse the discs in his neck. They had to fuse the spinal columns. Have you ever seen a video of him running? There's a video of him running, and his neck doesn't move because it's like fused. It's crazy. The video says Yoel Romero runs like his neck is fused because it is.
That's not what the back is.
I don't know if that
he don't
really
got
looks
it.
Like.
Oh, he do have a scar. Yeah, what?
He does. So that's his neck is fused.
Dang.
I think he said that was the most frightening time of his life because he was worried that he was going to die. But there's a video of him running, and it's crazy when you watch him run because like all of this doesn't move at all. It's just completely straight. And he just, look at this. Look at his neck. Isn't that wild?
Booking it.
But like his athleticism is insane. And he's doing all this athleticism with a frozen neck.
Imagine having to fight him bare knuckle.
That guy. What a fucking stud. Oof. He was so good. And it's amazing that he's so good still at 46 years old. Is that what he is?
Yeah, that too. That's 46? Amazing. I always think about guys like Dan Henderson.
Why?
Love Dan Henderson.
Love Dan Henderson.
I love his fighting.
Dan Henderson's fighting. That dude, like, if you ever like, put your hand on his back, feels like he's made out of wood. Like, he doesn't feel like a normal person. Like, something's going on. Mm. Like, there's a lady who I knew that was his massage therapist. She's like, it's like the most brutal thing just to get through all that hard tissue. It's all just like knotted up like fucking wire.
It's our evolution as fighters. So, I mean, I don't want it. Like, I don't like getting pedicures with girls and shit because then I'm like, I earn the soles of my feet through fighting. Whether I wear shoes boxing or I do a barefoot MMA, you know, you earn the soles of your feet. So it's like, you know, doing certain things. I don't know. I want to fucking get a shot of stem cells in my neck right now while we're talking about it. But
yeah, you probably should.
I gotta go to another fucking country.
No, there's some stuff they can do actually even in Austin. Waste Well has an office in Austin. Yeah. You can get.
I have to look it up in Orlando.
You get certain treatments today in America. It's just, but to really go full whole hog, you gotta go somewhere else. And like I said, the place down in Tijuana, everybody raves about it. I know a lot of people I know have been there. That's the Cellular Performance Institute, and then there's Bioaccelerator in Colombia. And there's probably other ones too, including Dr. Neil Reardon's in Panama. But if you want to go there, apparently they can do a lot more wild shit than we can do here.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, places don't be safe. I be staying home with the fam.
Yeah.
I keep myself out of trouble. I do some push-ups.
Yeah.
And eat some food. That's what I like to do, watch cartoons.
I hear ya.
With the kids. Play games. Call of Duty, man. You know, play that.
Yeah. If you ever wanted to go to the one in Tijuana, though, it's like right down from San Diego. You could just drive into it.
Yeah.
You know?
San Diego, California.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the other side.
I know.
Yeah, East Coast, boy. East Coast, boy.
Where are you, are you born and raised in Florida? Like, where'd you grow up? You said Michigan, you said Flint at one point in time?
Uh-huh.
And then how'd you get to Florida?
Mom and dad separated, and I used to go back and forth there.
There's a particular type of wild dude from Florida. It's so much so that there's like a name, Florida Man. You know, what the fuck is it about Florida?
Oh, I thought I thought that was me. Right? I thought the Florida Man is me, but because there's like a whole video and a drawing.
Yeah.
Of it's like 40 minutes. I've been blessed in life where people, you know, find things interesting about me and make some cool videos and. I know you know about that, man.
Yeah.
You're the fucking coolest, bro. Everybody likes you, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. But, man, I forgot. What did you ask me? I forget shit a lot, man. Fuck.
Do you worry about that?
No.
No?
I don't give a fuck.
Just deal with it?
Yeah. My parents, everybody forgets shit, but, like, maybe you don't. I don't know. You eat the alpha brain sometimes, and it helps with memory?
Well, you know, the reason why I found what we even invented, Alpha Brain, was because I had heard what Bill Romanowski did. You know, the football player?
Mm-hmm.
He created this stuff called Neuro One. I was on this radio show in San Francisco back in the day, and one of the co-hosts of the radio show said, hey, I want you to try this stuff. My coach, Bill Romanowski, was his trainer. And he's his friend or something. Mm-hmm. Was getting him through workouts. He goes, I want you to try this. It's a nootropic. And he developed it to help with the symptoms that he received from all the concussions that he got from playing football. He was having problems with his memory. So he developed this like nutrient blend of things that enhance your memory. So that was the first one of those that we ever tried before I did Alpha Brain. It's great shit.
Yeah, I just took my first one before we did this.
Did you? How's it feel?
I'm wondering. I'm trying to think about it. I'm like, is it helping me? Because I'm forgetting all this shit, but I probably need to keep doing it.
Yeah, it's that laughing gas weed, too. That stuff is...
Yeah, I think that's what it is, to be honest with you. That's where my memory gets fucked up. I get high in here. I'm like, what was I fucking talking about, bro?
Exactly. It's really strong weed.
Fuck.
That's that Joey Diaz weed.
No, I gotta love it, though. Yeah. Gotta love some weed. Sometimes you gotta dumb yourself down just so...
Exactly.
You know...
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to clear yourself up.
Right. Yeah.
You know, best of both worlds. Be the line.
Just have to have discipline. Mm-hmm. Enjoy yourself, mm-hmm. but have discipline.
It's easy to live, you know, comfortably. Don't be mad. You know, I ain't have a lot growing up, but the best times were like just being on the move, doing stuff, hanging out. So... That's life, man. Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea at any point where you'd like to retire or you'd like to do something else? Or are you just going to just ride it till the wheels fall off?
Yeah, obviously. I have no choice. I have to, bro. Please. Pay my bills and I'll fight. Let's go. And pay them good, too. Pay better bills. Big bills. I got monthly, yearly expenses. Boy. But I'm making good money. It's all right. And it's getting better. So that'll come. I'm down to fight, man. I earned it after all these years of doing it.
Well, you definitely earned it. And you definitely earned a large fan base. I mean, that's really what it's all about. People know, when they go to see Mike Perry fight, especially now after these bare knuckle fights, they know they're going to see some wild shit.
There's guys in the UFC that have been there much longer than me and don't have more fights than me. I had 15 fights in 5 years, and all UFC fights, top guys, top 15 guys. And, you know, it was like a lesson. It was like learning how to be a martial artist. And, you know, and I've earned the right to compete against other great competitors in history for spectacles and you know, competition. Try to beat these guys in rules that are written on paper, whatever the rules say. I don't care whatever it is. Let's fight, man. There's great guys out there, too. It's like the more bodies you get to work with, you pick up off of each one. But it is a long road, and sometimes I'm like, all right. That's where I say fighting is a choice where it's like, well, I could just beat you. I'll just finish you right away, and then I don't have to get in this long, drag-out fight. I just take you out quick, and it's over. So I can do that in competition and get paid for it, and the rest of the time, really, I'm just, you just, you know, work out, enjoy your workout, and then, you know, I only fight for something that makes a difference now. It's like I can either beat you or... And it does, it benefits me, or there's no reason to fight. There's no reason to train. And I know how to win. So it's like I don't need to add to my own attrition. You know, some people, like those young boxers who have 200 fights, some of them kids are out there. They're not coming back.
Right.
You know, so... I've always been fortunate to have battles and hard shots are being thrown, but I've been able to keep control of my mind enough, I guess. I need to be smarter, though. I need to read more books, man. I really got to read. I say read more books like I've ever read a book. Like, shit, I read like a Goosebumps book when I was 11, and that was it.
What about books on tape? Have you ever listened to like...
your books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I listened to like 2 hours of that shit.
Audiobooks are a great way to do it because it's passive.
And podcasts, right? Yeah. You listen to people talk more.
Yeah, but you know, podcasts, it's a lot of it's just, unless it's, I mean, other people's kind of podcasts, you can get informative stuff. But on mine, a lot of it is just shooting the shit. Whereas like a book on, like an audiobook, you can get like almost every book ever is on an audiobook, except some weird excuse or like, you know, obscure ones. But like, what percentage of books are available in audio? I would like to know that.
Yeah.
Kind of most of them.
Definitely,
right?
Got to get on that.
Most of them.
Because like, this is cool. This is the Joe Rogan Experience. And it's teaching me that, like, you know, this is probably one of the longest conversations I've had with a human being. And, you know, and you get to, and I get to pick your brain and stuff. And, you know, I'm all about learning, man. I guess I'm still so young. I'm trying to figure it out. I was thinking that a conversation is like a map. And if you take the time, you know, the map they call it, you know, that's why it's called spelling. Because it's magic. And you draw on this map with your words. And the map leads to path and treasure and... Ooh. You know, there's opportunities in life on your map. So your words are what make things happen. Business, sit down, shoot the shit, talk, genius fucking talking on comedy stage.
Is that really the origin of the word spelling?
That's what Bruce Lee says.
I disagree with that, but yeah, it's something like that. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Bruce Lee says.
That's crazy.
It's magic. Your words are... That's why it's called spelling. It's a spell.
For real, what is the origin? What does it say the origin of the word is? That sounds insane. Oh, my God. Imagine we just, like, figured something out.
Bruce Lee said
that. Well, so the mid-15th century, the etymology of the word spell is the action of speaking of and utterance. And then the meaning is putting that into letters, but
Wow.
I mean, back in the mid-15th century, when they're talking about spells, that's, you know.
So back then, just when they said spelling, so the action of reading letter by letter from the noun spell. But the noun spell, when isn't that like, click on that. Because would that be like how to spell things out, or was it like a magic spell? Is there a different kind of spell?
That's where, I mean, the English word spell has to be developed from wherever it came from, you know, and that's where this is going to go get into. And it's a short form way to say he's right, I'm pretty sure.
So maybe it's when they say to cast a spell.
That's what a lot of people. I have friends that say exactly what he was saying. Like, be careful what you say out loud because you're casting a spell as soon as you say it.
Oh.
Yeah, for sure.
I wonder how much that is real.
I feel like I've lost, you know, the path to fights. And I've the fight is won. It seems like it's won before you ever step foot in the ring. And then, or, you know. It's not going right. Something ain't adding up. I'm messing up somewhere just mentally, and you know, and how to beat you in these rule sets, and like it comes out in the fight. And I've had, you know, tough fights where I lost before the fight even started. I'm like, it just seemed like I was supposed to lose. It just seemed like I was supposed to win. It was too easy when I won, or when, you know, it's like. It's someone else is in control. It's a lot of the times I try to, you know, make sure I'm the one in control. And that's how I've been thinking since having success in fights and new sport. But ultimately, I just feel like there's another driving force that kind of makes things happen and I have no control over it. And it's either enjoyable or it's a lesson I have to get through.
So you think that like everything that comes up, every hurdle that comes up is a lesson for you? Is that how you
approach it? Absolutely. Right. And you know, I hope that those, I don't need to have training for a lesson where someone attacks us in public. I don't, you know, I don't have any experience in that. I have 3 bare knuckle boxing fights. I don't have any experience in being attacked on the street, and I don't want any, you know.
It's a weird thing, like people have weird attachments to like fate, the idea that you have a fate.
Mm-hmm.
You have a, but I wonder why people resist that. I wonder why people think that's not real. Like, I wonder why. Because in some ways, even if it was real, how the fuck would you know? How would you know? You'd have no idea. But in some ways, it seems like it behaves like it's real, at least in some way.
Mm.
Like that there is kind of a way that it's all.
Do you feel like you've ever died
together
before and then woke up and you were a different person? But you're the same person. But I mean, you've been growing for years.
Here's the thing. You never know. Because you go to sleep every night.
You used to look like a different human when
you've been
so young for so many years. Man, with
I'm
hair, 55. You looked like a different guy.
Yeah,
you,
I did. I'm 55 know? Years old. When I was a kid, 55, I was like, that's dead people. Those people are dead. 55, they're done, man. It's over.
And nowadays, 55, it's like you're a kid. You just reaching the best parts of life is retirement stuff or like, I don't know. You've always had success. So
you can just, the most important thing is just to be healthy. That's,
right.
That's the most
the
important
health,
thing.
That's
so
where I'm lucky.
I
get to exercise.
Yes. Yes.
I do. Get to. Otherwise, if fighting was not my job, I ain't doing shit.
Really? Don't you think you get the itch?
Hell yeah, man. I like laying down do and not doing nothing. I'm just like my dad back in the day. I just want to sit on the couch and eat some M&M's or something. Change. I don't know. I need it sometimes, though. My brain needs it.
You need something. Well, it seems like you recognize balance, which is why you've kind of like relaxed after your last fight, which I think is important. I think you're right about that. it's probably good to let things heal. But I really do hope you get that neck looked at. I'll connect you with Ways to Well before we leave.
Thanks. I mean, I get massages. Oh, my gosh. I got one Friday. I was, you know, Connor's always got the cupping.
Mm-hmm.
He's always got the cupping marks. And I was supposed to have a cupping appointment the other day, and it's like she just did, like, four and moved them a couple times and mostly massaged. And I was like, man, I want you to put a fucking cup and suck
you want
that
them
shit
hickeys.
Out. Yeah, them all over.
Hickeys.
My arms, my back, chest, neck, balls,
that's
everything.
Yeah.
I want to,
yeah.
For real, man. That's real pleasure. I enjoy that. Go ahead, suck that pain out of my neck, man.
I've only had that done once, the cupping thing. Maybe twice.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you dealt with stuff like,
no,
I
do.
Because you're so.
Get a lot of deep tissue.
Into martial arts.
Yeah, but the cupping thing I never really fucked with. Like two times I think I did it. But a lot of people swear by it. Do you swear by it? Does it work for you?
I've gotten it a few times.
Jesus, look at that guy's back. That's insane. That's insane.
Mm.
That looks so crazy.
I'm saying it's a baseball player, Bryce Harper, but I'm not. It looks like it probably.
That looks fucking crazy. That looks like spores are growing out of his back. They're contained to keep them from exploding and spraying spores into the air. They have a glass.
Acupuncture hurts. That shit, I don't like it sometimes. Massages have messed me up too.
Yeah.
You get your thumb in there and then something pops and you're like, oh shit, all right. And acupuncture, at the UFC, they used to attach that thing and put the little electric cord
on it.
Fucking like a tattoo gun that stabs you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's not going in and out. It's just shocking you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. It hurts later.
Yeah.
The little thin needle don't do much, but then later you're like, damn.
Did you get relief with it, though, of whatever the injury was?
No.
It didn't help?
It did at the moment. It's like it shoots. It's like you get adrenaline in that area because you're being stabbed and electrocuted in a very small, pinchy way.
Like a cunty way.
It's like, ah. And later, it's so sore from getting. You like acupuncture?
No. I've only done it a few times. I don't dislike it. Like, I think it works for some people. At least they say it works for them. Maybe there's a placebo effect. Some people swear by it. They might be right. I didn't have good experience with it. Mm. But it might have been. I only did it with one guy. I mean, maybe some people are better at it. But deep tissue massage has always helped.
Love that. That helps.
Yeah. That helps a lot.
I can sit there for 6 hours and let.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Like when you get knotted up and that's why I worry about your neck. Like there might be something chronic in there.
But I feel like it always does this. It comes back and you have to PT it and you work. But the stem cell is definitely a part of that for some people.
Do you ever use an iron neck?
Like a workout machine?
No, it's not like a. It's a halo that you put on your head. You ever heard of it?
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
And you, it has a
and
bungee.
You like turn.
Yeah. It really helps rehab
and it's
necks
free
too.
Floating.
Yes, and you control the resistance in how much effort you want to put going side to side. Mm. So you're not putting pressure on the discs because you're not bending like this, which some people think could, if you do it wrong, could fuck you up. But this is different because your neck is always straight up and down, and you're just strengthening all the muscles while like working on your range of motion with this halo. I'll get you one. I think we have them here. Don't we have them here?
Oh,
I think
so,
I still.
Oh.
We still have a couple. Yeah, I'll get you
like
one.
That, yeah.
You'll like it.
That'd be cool, man.
It's great. And maybe that will help you, too. Because I know a lot of people that have had neck problems, and they do it slowly, and it strengthens the muscles around that area. Mm. And like maybe creates, because of the resistance, creates a little bit of more range of motion. You know?
Yeah. That's why I need something.
Do you ever do yoga or anything like that to stretch out?
I used to, man. I used to.
Yeah?
P90X back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day. Yoga is, I don't know, with the boxing, I like to be tight sometimes, right? Like, before a fight, I wouldn't want to be having to get massaged up.
You like to be tight.
I like to earn that tension, in the gym. I work on it, but I feel like I earn the pain, and then...
Interesting.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, I worked through it. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, your mentality is very unique. That's interesting.
I have no choice, bro.
But what if it helped you perform better if you got it massaged out?
You could be too loose. If you're too loose, you're not as fast.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I believe.
But there's a lot of very fast,
I know some boxers,
people.
Some coaches are like, I don't know, a good boxing coach before their fighter boxes, they're like hitting them on the neck with stuff,
mm-hmm.
or like little hits. Some do like a rub, like mm-hmm. right before, which is weird to me.
Right.
I would honestly be like, don't fucking touch me before we go out there and work. Like, I have this, when I have a fight, an event, I have to create this aura that fucking, a force field that pushes, you know, my way through things. And like, when me and Conor McGregor faced off, he was moving all over the place and I stood my ground. I stood so still. I stood still and I couldn't be, you know, wavered or moved. He's moving all over the place. I mean, that says that he was free in that moment to do so, obviously. But it was me respectfully calling him out, which shows the professional in martial arts that I have been for so many years. How do you call a man out in a sport that, you know, he has a family and, you know, you guys want to hurt each other. And they can honor it in a fair way and promote it to be entertaining. I mean, everything he does, people watch that shit. So it was great to have him there. It really boosted the moment for me.
Listen, if he decided to do that, if somehow or another they gave him the green light to do that, I can't imagine how that could ever happen. But if it did, if that happened in a bare knuckle fight, that would be fucking bananas. That would be bananas.
He's a good kicker, too. He kicked Cowboy Cerrone in the head who fucking yanked my arm.
Yeah, he's a very good kicker. He's a very good kicker. He could do everything. But, I mean, if somehow or another he agreed to fight bare knuckle, I mean, Jesus Christ, you know how big that would be?
Whew.
My Lord, Mike. Versus
he
him.
He practices it. And he beat a guy who got me. So it's a great fight, man.
That would be wild.
It would be cool, man. They say it's the pink panty night now because I released a video on Instagram of me eating my girlfriend's panties.
If they did that in bare knuckle, it would get a million pay-per-view buys, at least.
With Conor?
Probably get two.
No,
or
I don't. But I mean, I don't have enough fans. I don't know how many sell.
What was he saying to you?
Fair play to you, man. Respect you.
I love the way he talks.
I fight you no problem, eh? That's okay. It just happened, man. Before that fight for that camp, man.
Oh wow!
It really.
And so your friend who died, he died just from a sparring match, just a sparring incident.
Yeah, man. Terrible. And everyone knew him. He was so tough. Such a tough guy.
It's an unpredictable thing. And those kind of injuries are an unpredictable thing.
So,
you know.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It's fucking even more to fight for, though, man. That's why, I guess I have to. I used to say it back in the day. I was one of my call outs in the UFC. Whose life you want me to ruin next? Fuck yeah, dude. That's somebody's life going fucked up, man. Yeah. And it's you or it's me. Let's go. I'm going to figure it out. Give me some money. Give me some more. I need cooler things. Toys. I flew private. These Kenpai Pandas fucking flew me out private and put me up in a car in a nice beach house. I took the family to vacay. It was beautiful in Destin, Florida. I'd never been up there in that little panhandle of the peninsula or the Florida, Gulf of Mexico. That's what it is. That water is so sketchy, though, man. I don't fuck with the ocean like that. It's sketchy.
Did you see that video of that Russian dude getting eaten by a shark?
Fucking. It's gotta suck, bro.
That's gotta suck. That's gotta suck. That's a rough way to go, son.
You can't see that motherfucker.
You can't
like,
see him. You can't get away. You
gotta get a hold of
their
them.
World. They can but move it, fast.
Yeah, they fucking swish.
And they got knives in their mouth. A giant thing.
Imagine Rob Dyrdek went down there and Rob Dyrdek did it. He went down with the chainmail and let a shark bite him.
Oh, he's so crazy. That is so crazy. Cause just the bite force.
Bro, just the scuba diving.
Right.
Oh just going underwater, breathing in a fucking hole. And it's so hard. I did it in Hawaii. I almost fucking passed out.
My friend Duncan was staying at this resort in Maui. And right where he was staying, a lady got snatched offshore.
Snatched?
By a shark. Oh, was it a lady or a guy? It was recently in Maui, like real close to the beach. But like Duncan was there. I think he was there a week later. Like, fuck that. Yeah. There's sharks out there killing people? And you're just going to go swimming because the water's right. warm? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Male swing 60 yards.
No, the water was
beautiful. I think so.
Beautiful yeah. and destined. And it's like, I would jump in and then go back to the sand.
Oh, the woman was the one where a man was swimming with his wife.
Oh, I actually found one where this is actually more recent.
I saw this
recent?
Russian couple
December?
Doing yeah, ice baths in the winter. In Russia, and they dug a hole in the ice, and the wife jumps in the fucking hole, and the current took her under the fucking ice,
oh
and she
my
died.
God.
She's gone. They lost
oh
her.
Oh my god!
It's fucking
oh
Russian
my
people.
God, they didn't know that it was a raging river.
Fuck. Man.
Oh my god! Could you fucking imagine the horror? Oh my god! Imagine cutting a hole in a river and not realizing what you've done when you jump in, and you can never swim upriver.
It's not a video. It's just
no,
the
no, don't show me. Don't show me.
No.
This is so crazy.
It happened in front of her family, too.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's terrible, man.
Oh, what
but maybe, you know, people live on in life through their experiences, and, you know, it's like we're all connected.
And
the, you know, in the fucking stars and
cosmos.
Shit, and the
it happened
for sure. Everything you experience is now a part of human life.
She went down instantly.
Instant, and then the guy goes in right after, which I don't know how he made it.
Oh god damn!
We
it,
all
man.
Are. Have you ever been to Japan?
Yes.
That cool?
Yeah, it was very interesting. I was there very briefly because it was just for a UFC.
No,
but it was interesting. It was beautiful. Very.
Did you have some wagyu?
No, we had some sushi though.
Nigiri.
We had.
I see you be eating that with a private chef or whatever.
Yeah. I like. I'm more into sashimi these days. I'm trying not to eat too much rice. Mm. I've been on a carnivore diet.
Yeah, I like a little bit of rice sometimes.
Me too. I do too.
Me mostly keto.
Yeah, right now I'm just trying this out. I'm trying this out for a few months, seeing how I like it. So far, I like it.
That's good.
I cheated a little bit. I had an acai bowl the other day.
Oh.
It was nice.
You got to get over the hump with it. Right?
Nah. Sometimes I just feel like trying. I don't want to be strict with myself, you know, 7 days a week. One day a week, if I feel like eating something stupid, I want some ice cream.
You see this shit The Rock eats?
Oh, my God. He goes ham.
He goes, he's like, cheat meal Sunday.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Peanut butter and pancakes and
a glass of
Christ.
Tequila. He goes in, man.
Well, if you're going to do it one day a week, that's the way to do it. Obviously, it works. Mm. Listen, Mike Perry, I'm honored to be a part of the longest conversation you've ever had with a human.
Thanks, dude.
I appreciate you. Appreciate your fighting style and your fighting spirit, man. You're a fun dude to watch. I'm
Thank
a fan.
You.
I'm a
Thank
fan.
Thank you, man. I Thank hope you. I can entertain the world.
Fuck yeah. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.